muscles, which showed that its first owner had been possessed of great strength, were bound in place by a strip of parchment-like skin. "Just fancy," said my friend, "the other day they sold the effects of an old sorcerer, recently deceased, well known in all the country. Every Saturday night he used to go to witch gatherings on a broomstick. He practiced the white magic and the black, gave blue milk to the cows, and made them wear tails like that of the companion of Saint Anthony. The old scoundrel always had a deep affection for this hand, which, he said, was that of a celebrated criminal, executed in 1736 for having thrown his lawful wife headfirst into a well, for which I do not blame him, and then hanging in the belfry the priest who had married him. After this double exploit he went away, and during his subsequent career, which was brief but exciting, he robbed 12 travellers, smoked a score of monks in their monastery, and made a seraglio of a convent." "But what are you going to do with this horror?" we cried. "Eh, parbleu, I will make it the handle of my doorbell and frighten my creditors." "My friend," said Henry Smith, a big phlegmatic Englishman, "I believe that this hand is only a kind of Indian meat, preserved by a new process. I advise you to make bouillon of it." "Rail not, messieurs," said, with the utmost sang-froid, a medical student who was three-quarters drunk, "but if you follow my advice, Pierre, you'll give this piece of human debris Christian burial, for fear lest its owner should come to demand it. Then, too, this hand has acquired some bad habits, for you know the proverb, 'Who has killed will kill.'" "And who has drank will drink," replied the host as he poured out a big glass of punch for the student, who emptied it at a draught and slid dead drunk under the table. His sudden dropping out of the company was greeted with a burst of laughter, and Pierre, raising his glass and saluting the hand, cried, "I drink to the next visit of thy master." Then the conversation turned upon other subjects, and shortly afterward each returned to his lodgings. About 2 o'clock the next day, I was passing Pierre's door. I entered and found him reading and smoking. "Well, how goes it?" said I. "Very well," he responded. "And your hand?" "My hand? Did you not see it on the bell-pull? I put it there when I returned home last night. But apropos of this, what do you think? Some idiot, doubtless to play a stupid joke on me, came ringing at my door towards midnight. I demanded who was there, but as no one replied, I went back to bed again and to sleep. At this moment the door opened, and the landlord, a fat and extremely impertinent person, entered without saluting us. "Sir," said he, "I pray you take away immediately that carrion which you have hung to your bell-pull. Unless you do this, I shall be compelled to ask you to leave." "Sir," responded Pierre, with much gravity, "you insult a hand which does not merit it. You know that it belonged to a man of high breeding?" The landlord turned on his heel and made his exit, without speaking. Pierre followed him, detached the hand, and affixed it to the bell-cord hanging in his alcove. "That is better," said he. "This hand, like the brother, all must die, of the Trappists, will give my thoughts a serious turn every night before I sleep." At the end of an hour I left him and returned to my own apartment. I slept badly the following night, and was nervous and agitated, and several times awoke with a start. Once I imagined even that a man had broken into my room, and I sprang up and searched the closets and under the bed. Toward 6 o'clock in the morning I was commencing to doze at last, when a loud knocking at my door made me jump from my couch. It was my friend Pierre's servant, half-dressed, pale, and trembling. "Ah, sir," cried he, sobbing, "my poor master, someone has murdered him." I dressed myself hastily and ran to Pierre's lodgings. The house was full of people disputing together, and everything was in a commotion. Everyone was talking at the same time, recounting and commenting on the occurrence in all sorts of ways. With great difficulty I reached the bedroom, made myself known to those guarding the door, and was permitted to enter. Four agents of police were standing in the middle of the apartment, pencils in hand, examining every